these dreams and three madnesses. While doing the synthesis of yoga, I always talked about the three madnesses of Sri Aurobindo. You remember it? And then these five. 5 + 3, 8 is the entire crux of Sri Aurobindo's life, activity, and his present day activity, and his future activities also. So while we are going to read this, the life divine together, you always remember this, the first of these dreams was a revolutionary movement which should create a free and united India. This is the first dream. And we know that we are not yet united, even though we are independent. And that unity is truth consciousness. So until and unless you know what is truth consciousness or the life divine, we just don't understand the concept of unity. We are not talking about a physical unity. We are talking about a total unity, the physical, emotional and mental, and of course the intuitional and the higher levels are always unified. So these are the three types of unifications which we have to plan, we have to dream. Another dream was for the resurgence and liberation of the people of Asia and her return to her great role in the progress of human civilization. Asia is something which we have forgotten completely. We don't talk about Asia, and to be honest, I myself don't know the exact boundaries of Asia. But the real Asia is what is called the heart of the Mother Earth. The heart of the Mother Earth. I am not talking about the physical part. I am talking about the vital part of the planet Earth. So, we have given a great different types of history, our Indian concepts. Maharshi Mahesh Yogi's website, if you see, you will find that majority of the name which starts or ends with Ram, we find in Asia. So that is another dream, though it is based on the head, that is India, the heart is the Asia. The third dream was a world union forming an outer basis of a fairer, brighter and nobler life for all mankind. Another dream, the spiritual gift of India. This is our main role. The spiritual gift of India. And when you say a spiritual gift, it is a way of life, living like a spirit, like an Atma. That is the gift we have to give. How to live like an Atma. Not even like a over mind. In the meditation hall, you must have seen the different levels of mind, right from the inconscient mind to the highest mind. These levels of minds are the gift of India to the whole world. To the whole world, even the mathematics, the astrology, the science of the stars, the difference I am making between astrology and the science of the stars, astronomy, all these basically are Indian in origin. And Rig Veda, many people don't know that it talks about the astronomy. Line by line, if you can understand Rig Veda, it is all astronomy. It talks about the present day, what is called the Oregon and the Orion, and about some Borealis. But whatever is the name, the Vedic names are the Vishnupada, the Brahmapada, and the Shivapada. And why I am bringing this to you now is that tomorrow is the day, what is known as the Datta Jayanti day, where this Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesha, the three padas in the stellar, come in line with planet Earth. Single line, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Satchat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha, happens on that day in the galaxies. You can see it also. So that is the importance of particular dates. And many of our festivals are exactly based on the exact alignment of planet Earth, the particular star and the North Pole. That is what gives you your festivals. And one more thing, what the Vedas stress is, many people do not understand exactly what is Agni. Agni, fire. The Vedas explain it that it is nothing but concentrated sunlight. Agni is nothing but concentrated sunlight. Is it clear? Can you confirm it by any explanation or something? Wherever there is a fire, flame, it is concentrated sunlight. One scientist gave an explanation like this. In summer, suppose we have put a piece of cotton on the floor, the sunlight is falling on it. And our summer, especially in Guntur and Vijayawada, we know it as Blazewada, very hot. But when the sunlight falls on it, the sun rays, it doesn't burn. Do you accept that statement? A piece of cotton placed even in summer on the exposing to sunlight, it won't burn even in midday. But suppose you put a magnifying lens over it, what happens? All the sun rays are concentrated and you get a flame. So you remember that Agni is a concentrated solar energy that we have forgotten. Even though there is a direct proof that fire comes when the solar rays are united. So this Agni is the basis of the entire Rig Veda. Agni mile purohitam yajnasya deva rutvijam hotaram ratnadhatam. Agni mile purohitam. Ho Agni. Mile means we pray. What for? For purohitam. For the betterment of the cities. Not of one man or two men or three men, but the entire city. Or cities. Agni mile purohitam. Yajnasya deva rutvijam. This yajna is exactly what the practical aspect of supramental descent. Yajnasya deva rutvijam. Hotaram ratna dhatam. One who does this, he gets ratnas. So that is the basis of Agni. And that is the spiritual gift we have to give to the world. That fire, the Agni. But do we really think that when you are looking at a light, that it is concentrated solar energy? And naturally this can't be a concentrated solar energy. You put a magnifying lens on that, I don't think anything will burn. But when you put it on a cotton, and sun rays are concentrated on it, you are sure that there will be a fire. So with this, this every day I will repeat for 1 or 2 minutes, and then we now directly go to the subject, the life divine. And before that, in the record of yoga, got the answer? In the record of yoga, it is started with Sapta Chatushtaya, the seven fours, F-O-U-R-4. I request those who are really interested in to take up these dreams, you should at least know the ABCDs of the Sapta Chatushtaya in your life. Those Sapta Chatushtayas are the Shanti Chatushtaya number 1, the Shakti Chatushtaya number 2, Vijnana Chatushtaya. And in Vijnana Chatushtaya, he talks about the Ashta Siddhis. Yesterday I was telling you about the Ashta Siddhis and how you practiced it. And we all have to get these Siddhis. If you want to become an engineer, you should read engineering. If you want to become a doctor, you should know the medicinal knowledge. Similarly, if you want to go into the path of yoga, the first ABCDs are the Ashta Siddhis. And let me tell you that about 90% of us have almost 6 Siddhis already. When you read this, you will understand it. It is only a degree difference. Some people may be having about 80% of the Ashta Siddhis, some people will be having about 40% of the siddhis. But I am sure that present day humanity have at least 40% of the astasiddhis already in them. They have just to make it more serious and more active. That is the Vijnana Chatushtaya. Then the Sharira Chatushtaya. This is page number 24. Again it is number 24, we don't know how it comes. There he gives the outline of the seven Chatushtayas, revised order. This you should always have in before you. Page number 24, record of yoga. And I will be touching this record of yoga off and again when you go to the Life Divine. Life Divine, if you want to understand exactly what it is, you can say it is human aspiration. Every word that Sri Aurobindo uses have manifold meanings. And the more you think about it, the more you expand your consciousness, each word has different meanings, which is useful to you and to all others. So when we talk about the Life Divine, we are not talking anything like divine, what other people think about some gods residing somewhere and here and there. But it is human aspiration. The human aspiration is the Life Divine. Page 6, if you have the books, you can refer it. And if possible from tomorrow, you bring the books also, at least in this way, that book will be in our hands for some time, if possible. If not, I am giving the page number also. Page 6, the earliest formula of wisdom promises to be its last, God, light, freedom, immortality. This is the human aspiration since time immemorial. Sometimes we forget it, sometimes we denounce it, sometimes we say that there is no God, but again we come back to the same aspiration of God, light, freedom and immortality. And whenever there is a wrong understanding of God, it becomes asura. This is what we have to understand, what we are planning to become the tools of the supramental descent so that a Akhanda Bharata. And when I am talking about Akhanda Bharata, don't think about a bigger Bharata. The entire planet is Akhanda Bharata, you remember it. Then what did Mother show in that Akhanda Bharata? It is the head of the planet Earth. And when you talk about something for a man, you say, I will give it to the only the head, I will not give it to his body. If it goes to the head, it goes to the entire body. So when we talk about Akhanda Bharata, you always remember we are talking one planet Earth. And from where does these ideas come? Where do we get these thoughts? That is from Akhanda Bharat, the head. But with the head also we want the entire body, the entire planet Earth. And also always remember that the planet Earth is the laboratory for the God, the real God. I am not saying about a God, a Shiva God, or a Vaishnava God, or a Allah God, or a Christian God. I am saying the one unified God, universal God. His laboratory is planet Earth. You remember always this. And therefore, when you are in the laboratory, and if you think that God has brought you in this planet Earth, you are His servant. If you don't want to be, see, you are His officer. Why should we call ourselves servants when we are of God's? We are His officers. And we should work as He dictates. That is the surrender. You don't try to give your explanations to what He wants. That is why I said that before we start our class, we'll meditate there for some time. At least 10 minutes. Today also we said. And make it a point. You have to get prepared to attend the classes, because when you are thinking that I am teaching it, it is wrong. We are reading it together. I am giving my study that I have read like this. But that doesn't complete it. You have your own way, we can discuss it. But we will discuss it later, until after I finish it. Because if we start discussion, only the discussion will remain and the subject will go. So on the last day, we will have a discussion aspect and you are free to ask. And every day when you have a question, you write it down. And many times I have found that in the course of the lectures, the answers come. So I am not saying don't talk, don't ask, but only on the last day. Till that, before starting the class, we will meditate. And in meditation, you always remember, silence is important. No talking there. We will not talk. We will not discuss how to meditate there. We will discuss outside it. The earliest formula of the wisdom promises to be its last God. God means Deva. And the Rig Veda says, the real Devas are the stars. Later on, they have taken a human image. But actually, according to Vedas, it is the stars. In Purusha Sukta also, Aho Ratre, Parshe, Nakshatrani. Night and day, it depends on the appearance of the nakshatras. On night you can see the nakshatras. In the daytime, you can't see it. So these nakshatras are the real gods. And they control the entire universe. Just as the solar system is controlled by sun. You heard this prayer today? The truth consciousness controls the planet Earth. But this planet Earth controlled by our sun is a very small sun. When you go to the diadem of the mother, the 12 pearls in here, they are nothing but the zodiac. And zodiac are nothing but 27 stars. Is it not? And those 27 stars are concentrating their entire energy onto planet Earth and especially of human being. Are you understanding how great you are? One sun is controlling this system, our system. And there are 27 stars in the zodiac from Mesha to Meena, all the 360 degrees. And these 27 stars, you know, some people have complete confidence that they are guided by their stars. Is it not? By their astrological map. What does it mean? It means that your life is not based on planet Earth's position. It is based on the aspect of the zodiacal stars or the zodiacal suryas, which are much, 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 much bigger. And many people ask me, if that is so, what about the other stars? There are crores and thousands, millions and millions of stars. Are they not affecting planet Earth? They are. But the real aspect of these 27 stars is in the Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiya Yona Prachodayat. 24 letters. Bhur Bhuvaha Svaha Trimor 27. Why 27? Because you can be exposed only to 27. The 28 can't affect you. Because we have only 24 centers in us. Pancha Karmendriyas. So whatever you have to do, it has to be done by these 5 Karmendriyas. But these have to be motivated by the Jnana. Pancha Jnanendriyas. 5 plus 5, 10. But these 5 Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas must have life energy, Pranashakti, that is the 5 Pranas, Pancha Pranas. Each Jnanendriya is linked with, each Karmendriya and Jnanendriya is linked with a Pranashakti, 15. And all these 15 are based on some principles, Pancha Tattvas, Prithvi, Jala, Vayu, Agni and Akasha. And again you remember that Agni is a very peculiar tattva. And when I say a tattva, you remember I am not talking this fire, I am talking about the principle. I am not talking about water, I am talking about the water principle. You understand the difference between tattva and the real water? Water is of course water, we know pani, pani here. But the water principle, what is water principle? What is the fundamental principle of water? Can you tell me? Sri Aurobindo develops it very beautifully in the record of yoga. Water has two characteristics. It always flows down. Anything which has water principle flows. Now you understand what I mean by the principle? Anything which goes down is water. And another thing with water is, it develops your samskaras, your bijas. When you plant a seed, and if you don't water it, nothing happens. But if you pour water, what happens? The samskaras of the seed sprouts. That is Jala principle. In that way, there are five principles in us. Total 20. Five karmendriyas, five gyanendriyas, five pranas, five principles are tattvas. 4, 5, 20. And of course, here in record of yoga, because of the higher levels of consciousness, he talks about the 7 instead of the 7 karmendriyas, gyanendriyas, pranashakti, tattvas. But then 3 more he adds, and these are the sapta chatushtayas. But later we will go into the depths of that. First let us understand these 4 first, then we go to the 7. So you understand the number 20? 5 karmendriyas, 5 gyanendriyas, 5 pranas, 5 tattvas are the elements. And these 20 are controlled by the inner instruments, what are known as the antakarana, mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. So this is what is made up of. When you talk about an atom, there are only 3 things which control the atom, whether it is the universal atom or a very small hydrogen atom. Only 3 things. The nucleus, the neutral one, the protons, and then the electrons. Similarly, the entire majestic human body has got only 24. But these 324, Tatsaviturvarenyam, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat, is controlled by Mano, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara. And now the present day knowledge is based on mind. If you have a mind, you can read anything. But we don't have buddhi. And many times when I say it, people get angry with me. But when I say, if you have a buddhi, and if you buy a packet which says that you buy it, cigarette smoking is injurious to health, and you buy it, and if I say that you don't have buddhi, why do you become angry with me? Got the point? The difference between mind and buddhi. Mind just stores the knowledge in different compartments. It is the buddhi which takes whatever it wants. And after buddhi, you have what is known as the aham. And that is where Sri Aurobindo leads us first, to the aham, to the ego. I am not talking about the ahankara, egoism. I am talking about the center in you which makes you feel that you are, you are. I am, that I am, is the ahankara. And then the supramental descent goes beyond that. It goes to the chitta, to the mind stuff. And the mind stuff is same to all. To all means I am talking about all prayers. That is where when you enter into the supramental stuff, the chitta stuff, everything becomes one. I am talking all this to explain the concept of God. So all this knowledge is divine. Those who follow it, they are asuras. And those who don't follow it, they are asuras. That is the first deviation that comes. That is what Mother explains, the evolution of the planet Earth. So you have the suras and the asuras. The suras and asuras, don't think they are something different. They are all human beings. Let us talk about the human beings itself. Therefore, don't say that when I say asuras and suras, I am talking about human beings. But because we think we are human beings, let us talk about human beings. So there is always a fight between the suras and asuras. Every moment there is a fight between the suras and asuras. And what happens when the fight happens? First hala hala comes. But then namrata also comes. But later. So whenever the truth descends, the terrorism. Because now I am concentrating that all of you should fight it. We should see that the terrorism is completely vanishing from planet Earth. And again, let me tell you, we are not going to fight physically. There are so many military people, police people and other people, the politicians, business people who are going to fight physically. We fight it with the power of truth, the supramental descent force. That is why the life divine is so important, to understand the basics of it. So sura asura, you understand the positive and the negative, and then light, you know it. Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, from darkness to light. Wherever there is darkness, it is wrong. Where there is light, it is right. The opposite of light is darkness. Freedom, independence. Opposite to it is slavery. Immortality, death. So these are the four basic characteristics of truth consciousness or supramental descent. The qualities of supermind or supramind, but if you want it, the Indian name for it is Vijnana, Vijnanamaya Kosha. Has these four characteristics. If you are there, you are always with God, you always have light, you always have freedom, you always have immortality. And this naturally is the aspiration of human beings since time immemorial. That is why he says the earliest formula of wisdom promises to be its last. We want God, light, freedom, immortality. That is the line 3 of page 6. L3 where I have written, it means the line in the book. By a revolutionary individual effort or an evolutionary general progress. How to go to that goal, the human aspiration? There is, of course, an evolutionary general progression. It goes from mineral kingdom, we have the plant kingdom, from the plant kingdom, we have the animal kingdom, and now we are the sovereigns, we are the peak of animal kingdom, and naturally further progress is there, but takes millions and millions and millions of years. But yoga, Swami Vivekananda, in Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo writes these lines. See, Swami Vivekananda said, yoga is a means compressing one's evolution. And one's evolution means how many crores of years? God only knows. Crores of years development into a single life. If you are a practitioner of the yoga, this life will be the culminating point. In this single life you will get it. But then he corrects himself, Vivekananda. He says, or a few years, as is gone, I want to make it 1 year probably, but it is a typing mistake. A few years or even a few months of body existence. That is exactly what Patanjali Yoga Sutra in the Samadhi Yoga 121, I'm talking about this. He says, Tivra Samvega Nama Asadnaha. And this is what Sri Aurobindo has given. Tivra Samvega Nama Asadnaha. If you can understand what exactly he wants you to do, at that instantaneous moment, you jump into the supramental consciousness. At that moment itself. But if not, a few months, not more than that. That is the guarantee. That is the guarantee of Sri Aurobindo and Mother. But to just about this guarantee, I want to explain you a bit. The moment you join the engineering college as a student, you are already an engineer, no doubt about it. But it takes time. But here the mental education fixes it to 5 years. Is it not? In 5 years, if you join to become an engineer, you are an engineer. And many times we are allowed to write in brackets the degrees you are reading. And you finish the reading, the bracket is removed. So, this supramental transformation of the human body, you be sure that A few months is enough, or a few years is enough, but be sure that this lifetime it should be completed. That Tivra Samvega means this one. Tivra Samvega, this is a 21st aphorism in the first chapter, Samadhi. There is a Tivra Samvega, nam, it is already there. And that exactly what all the spiritualists say, that you are divine by nature. You are evolving. But basically, what Shankara says, Advaita, you are already there. You have to realize it. Direct opposition appears rather as part of nature's profoundest method and the seal of her complete sanction. That is line 20 in page number I have given in the beginning. Page 6, line 20. You try to understand it and see the formation of India. There are three C's. You have to understand the symbol. And I think probably this is the only nation which has three C's surrounding it. And what is Samudra? Mudra means seal. Sa means with. What mudras we have? Bhur, Bhuvaha, Swaha. We have the seals of Earth consciousness. We have the seals of vital consciousness. We have the seals of mental consciousness. Bhur, Bhuvaha, Swaha. And this can be obtained, the seals, only when there is an opposition, when there is a strife, when there is a fight. So in the entire development of various evolutions of different particles and species in nature, there is always a fight. But this fight is the seal of nature helping you to grow. So whenever you have a suffering, whenever you find that something is giving us a problem, whether it is a vital problem, vital means the desired thing, vital problem or a physical problem or a mental problem, always try to see the seal. And how to see it? He gives it in the Life Divine itself in later chapters. But you try to remember it. We have to find what seals we are having on our bodies in the physical plane, in the vital plane, and in the mental plane. We should know the Samudra, and then you have to jump over it. That is exactly what is written in Ramayana. It is, of course, it really happened, but it happens in our body also. You have to jump the Samudra of the physical seals, you have to jump the Samudra of the vital seals, you have to jump the Samudra of the mental seals, and then the supramental you reach. Para 3. All problems of existence are essentially problems of harmony. This is exactly what you have to remember. There is a solution to all your problems. All your problems, whether physical, mental, emotional, or national, or anything. This is the formula. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Yogastak kuru karmani. Sangam chaktva dhananjaya. Siddha siddhyo samobhutva. Samatvam yoga uchyate. This is our basic keystone that we build our sadhana. The entire Life Divine, one thing is the human aspiration. What is human aspiration? Towards God, towards light, towards freedom, towards immortality. That is the basic human emotions, aspirations. And based on which? Yogastha kuru karmani. When you are doing this work, you be in the yoga and do it. Many people misunderstand this statement. Yogastha kuru karmani. Sangam chaktva dhananjaya. This name is very important, Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya, does it mean he hates money and he doesn't want money, or he has conquered money? What does it mean? He hates money and he becomes a beggar and he says that I am a great man, I have renounced riches. Or Dhananjaya means that he is the... You remember that our yoga is not running away from life, but we are conquering life. Sangam chaktva dhananjaya siddhya asiddhya. You know the siddhi and you know the asiddhi, that is what I have just told you about the ashta siddhis. You just, in the records of yoga, he has given a very practical approach towards how to analyze yourself to at what level of siddhis you are. If you have those qualities, you are siddhi, siddha. And if you don't have those qualities, you are a siddha. A very great businessman having crores and crores of rupees is a siddha in amassing money. But you ask him something about medicine, he is a siddha in that direction. So don't think that siddha and asiddha are negative words. Siddha means you are master in a particular thing. Asiddha means you have not mastered it. So siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. Samatvam yoga uchade. This is the keystone on which all our practices start. Later I will explain. We will go through it. But if I don't explain, be sure that you force me to explain. Then either I am evading because I don't know, or maybe I know and I am not able to explain. We will confirm it later. But this shloka, you always remember. Yoga sakkuru karmani, sangam tiktva dhananjaya, siddha siddhyo samo bhutva, samatvam yoga uchyate. Harmony. Harmony is essentially the problem solving key for all problems. When there is harmony, there is no fight. Fight is always there because there is no harmony. They arise from the perception of an unsolved discord and instinct. This instinct has been beautifully explained by Sri Aurobindo in Synthesis of Yoga. Instinct is subcontinent. Intelligence is contingent and intuition is supercontinent. Or you can say it as subconscious, conscious and superconscious. You don't worry about the name nomenclature. You understand that we have always three levels of approaching and understanding towards life. Being conscious of life, we have a subconscious life. What is the subconscious life? We don't know how the heart is beating, but it is beating throughout your life. The blood circulates. Your digestion continues. Your eyes see. Your ears hear. All these are subconscious powers which are saying that they are all in harmony. In harmony. Every sense, every organ must be in harmony. When there is no harmony, another name for it is dis-ease. Where there is no harmony, there is lack of ease. That is what we call dis-ease. That is disease. Even though we always talk about disease, we never talk about ease. Because we don't know what we are talking, probably we don't know the English. When you say disease, what does it mean? Lack of harmony. Dis-ease. And that is why I have seen people practicing yoga. You ask your yoga teacher who is there, you learn yoga nidra. And when you are sitting for meditation, practice that yoga nidra, not of sleeping, but sitting. You will get beautiful results. All diseases will vanish. I have seen time and again myself and hundreds of my friends. Just if you know how to sleep, and you don't know what is sleep, you don't know that sleep is nothing but relaxation. The only way of relaxation is sleep. And yoga nidra process teaches you how to sleep even when you are conscious. You ask your yoga, they are experts in yoga, all yoga teachers know that. And if you can, you can learn it within 5 or 10 minutes from him. And when you sit for meditation, there in the meditation hall, practice yoga nidra, you will get beautiful results. So the subconscious I am talking about, the nidra controls subconscious. Even though your consciousness sleeps, your subconscious activities continue even when you are sleeping. You got the point? And then of course intelligence is conscious. And that develops into consciousness, and intuition develops from super consciousness. And this super consciousness, when becomes your permanent home, that is exactly what Sri Aurobindo explains as the supramental descent. Page 7, line 9. Its perfect solution would be What perfect solution Sri Aurobindo is talking about? Can you guess? I have taken it from the line, but can you guess it? Its perfect solution would be the material immortality of a fully organized mind supporting animal body. Can you guess what solution? There is a war going on between the human body and mind continuously, is it not? And this human body only succumbs to birth, development, death. The vital body and all those bodies never die. That is where Gita is so important, Sri Aurobindo tells. Nainam chindanti sastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, nachainam kledayantyapo, naso shiti maruta. All these five elements we talked about, the prithvi, the water, the agni, the vayu, and the akasha, these can't shake your vital body. They can't do anything. It is only your physical body which succumbs, because it can't evolve in that particular body, then it rejects that body and creates a new body. So this is the struggle between a decaying body. Chiyati iti sharire. Sharira means that which decomposes. So this sharira decomposes. And your mind, it wants to be immortal. A mortal body and an immortal consciousness. So a perfect solution for this fight between the body and the mind is material immortality of a fully organized mind supporting animal body. This is exactly what Sri Aurobindo achieved on 5th December 1950 for himself. For himself means for his body. Don't think about himself means he is doing something for himself. And then mother got the message, what he said, the mind light. It was infused into the mother in 3 days, from 5th December to 9th December. And then she continued it. And around before 1960, she has given it to the entire planet Earth. Then many people say, if it has been given to the entire planet Earth, why do you want me to read all these things? I said, you know, the engineering techniques have been given. Don't read about it. You become an engineer. Can you become? But now, to become an engineer is a possibility for all human beings, because it is already a course. When it was not a course, it is not included in the course, then you cannot become an engineer. That is what Sri Aurobindo and Mother together have done, this, the supramental education. And it can be done in one lifetime, in few years or few months. Be sure of that. And you select your time, whether you want to get it in few months or in few years. But you have to finish in this lifetime. There is a condition why you have to finish it in this lifetime that I will later explain. And you be certain that at whatever may be your age, if you commence this, you will finish it in this lifetime. So don't worry that I am about 89 years old and my hands are shaking and I am not able to see and this and that. Don't worry about it. But you have to finish it in this lifetime. Sri Aurobindo and Mother will see that it will be finished in this lifetime. But the only condition is you should allow them. If you don't allow them, what can they do? So this is the perfect solution which they have achieved for the entire humanity. And not only for the entire humanity, for the planet Earth also. You remember that point. Even the planet Earth has achieved it. And it has been, now it is in that stage. That is why Sri Aurobindo and Mother says that if the human being just try for it, within a few months you can make the entire world one world. The effort must be there. Again, 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 and remember. Tivra samvega. You just want it and you don't do it. The accordance of conscious mind and conscious will with a form and a life in themselves, not overtly self-conscious and capable at best of a mechanical or subconscious will, is another problem of opposites, in which she has produced astonishing results and aims always at higher moral wills. For there her ultimate miracle would be an animal consciousness What was the first problem? Mortal body and mind. Now the other problem. Animal consciousness, no longer seeking but possessed of truth and light with the practical omnipotence which would result from the possession of a direct and perfected knowledge. This is our goal. First is physical immortality. You be sure that you have been given, but you have to utilize it. There will be no death on planet Earth. And I am not saying because of emotion. It is a guaranteed fact. It is you who want to die, but don't want to die, die for a cause. Just as Sri Aurobindo left his physical body for a particular cause. But that is not death. He has utilized the body for a particular thing. Mother utilized that power for something else. And do you know all the seven bodies of Buddha are still in Himalayas. Anyone, if you want it, you can catch hold of it and utilize it. You understand what I am talking about immortality? All your sheets, the Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya koshas have now become immortal, including Annamaya kosha. And you remember that Annamaya kosha is not the physical body, but the sukshma amsha of Annamaya body. There is a small difference between that. But let us not go deeper into it, because if I go deeper into it, I will be off the track, I will forget about the life divine, and I will become of Annamaya kosha. So, but you remember that this is a proven, guaranteed fact that anyone in human being, if he wants to become immortal, he can become immortal. There is a science, there is a technique, well proven. If you want to become immortal, you can become immortal. That has been achieved. Now what is the other thing? The animal consciousness, no longer seeking, but possessed of truth and light. This animal consciousness, the peak of animal consciousness, is our body. This human body, what characteristics it have of animal consciousness? Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maidhanam, Samanyametat, Pashubhir Narana. For animals and the human beings, this is normal. These four concepts of Ahara. Food you need. And many of the criminals, they started with that. Because they were hungry and they could good fit, they started stealing, and then they become great and great and great, and they evolved into the asuras. Instead of asuras. So ahara, actually you should know that your mind is based on what you eat. You always remember, when you are coming into this path, you always remember this point. What you are eating determines your mind. Are we conscious of it? Do we know what we are eating and what type of mind is being generated? Be aware of it. That means the animal consciousness is slowly become human consciousness when you know what you are eating and how it is going to affect your mind. Then ahara, then nidra, sleep. Sleep has two meanings. One is the relaxation process of sleep, and sleep is ignorance. I don't know anything about it. Animals, they are ignorant of many things of human consciousness. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, they fear. And maidhana, self-procreation. These are common to human beings and animals. This animal consciousness of ahara, nidra, bhaya and maidhana must change themselves, and they should be possessed by truth and light. That is what the Sri Aurobindo yoga sadhana starts. That is where Sri Aurobindo very proudly says, where all other yogas end, this yoga starts. But you should know the basics of all other yogas, then only you can start it. Because if you don't know the ABCDs and the alphabets and grammar, how can you start writing a poem? But Sri Aurobindo says that this present state of humanity is not degraded. In the previous few thousands of years, they are in the pinnacles of glory, intellectual glory. But just like a fall, a descent, again we have been a downtrodden humanity. So don't think that you are downtrodden, that you have to need the process of learning how to be possessed of truth and light. You already know it, you have forgotten it. This we have to understand. In synthesis of yoga, he gives the detailed explanation of how this happened. How, because of certain errors we have done at those thousands of years back, we have fallen down. And he gives the proof that if you take an aboriginal man somewhere in African jungles who have not heard about our humanity also, you bring him here and you educate him, can't you make him a scientist or an engineer in this lifetime? You understand the question? Anyone, whether he doesn't know the alphabets or English or language or anything, if he wants and comes into this grip and surrenders and tries to learn it, anyone can learn it. So, if he can learn it, what does it mean? He has the ability to learn it. And if you think that the abilities come from past lives, that is why we are here, what does it mean? That even that man has those samskaras. So that is the proof Sri Aurobindo gives. That from the animal consciousness, when we were trying at those times to become possessed of truth and light with fall. Fall is natural in every attempt. But now don't worry, and that is why he guarantees this lifetime you will get it. If not, much quicker, few years. If much quicker, few months. But don't come less than that. At least few months. With the practical omnipotence which would result from the possession of a direct and perfected knowledge. Not only that. This direct and perfected knowledge, you understand, knowledge is of two types. One is you do the experiment, analyze, again experiment, analyze, again experiment, analyze. Analyze means inference. Experiment, observation, inference. Experiment, observation, inference. This process goes on, and a long series of data, sometimes years of data, in the end result in a formula, single formula. And many times when you read the biographies of the scientists, you find that it dawned on them. They never did any experiments. Just one fine night, while they were sleeping, they get it direct. That is what he says, the direct. That is why this is the process where Sri Aurobindo's meditation is different from all other meditation. You get a direct knowledge. But you should know how to get a direct knowledge. That is just a bit of practice, just like cycling. How hard it is to cycle? Those who don't know cycling, it is very hard. And those who know the balancing, samatvam yoga vichate, it is very easy. And how soon can you learn cycling? It depends. Some learn in 1 hour, and I know many people, my friends, who wanted to learn cycling and till now they didn't learn it. So is it difficult or easy? So this direct and perfected knowledge, this is the source of all scientific revelations. Scientific revelations. The atomic structure was a dream. The sewing machine was a dream. The theory of constancy of light is a dream. It was never practiced or never experimented. It happened, and when they understood it, the direct knowledge, they put it into practice. So this is where we are going. Not only then is the upward impulse of man towards the accordance of yet higher opposites rational in itself, but it is the only logical completion of a rule and an effort that seem to be a fundamental method of nature and the very sense of universal strivings. What is the fundamental method? I think the word is correct, the fundamental method of nature. To what Sri Aurobindo is referring? The fundamental method of nature is fight. That is what he started, do you remember? Just a bit up. Direct opposition appears rather as part of nature's profoundest method and the seal of her complete sanction. This is what he said, the fundamental method. Again you try to understand it. Direct opposition appears rather as part of nature's profoundest method and the seal of her complete sanction. Once Sri Swami Vivekananda said that whenever you want to put something new to the world, the first thing you get is opposition.
First thing you get is opposition.
Huh?
You can call it inertia. It is just a name. We don't want to react to it. The inertia. Or let us correct it. He has given a nice adjective. Inertial opposition. Because even in opposition you have to be active. And he wants no opposition at all. It is inertial opposition. Got the point? And then after that, you will be laughed at. What he talks about it, what nonsense, how is it possible? I think many of you are not yet convinced, even though you just heard me, that immortality is a confirmed, guaranteed part of your life. That is one way of laughter. Somebody says, but for me it is not a laughter, it is a fact. And I can show it in his writings, how it worked. So the first is opposition, the second is laughing about it, and third is acceptance. So always I say, come to the third point immediately. Why that? So that is the fundamental problem. That seems to be a fundamental method of nature and the very sense of a universal striving. So everywhere in the universe you find that. Next, we speak of evolution of life in matter. You be very attentive to these lines. This is how all the 24 hours of yours should be used up. My Guruji used to say, when I say my Guruji, I talk about my Sriram Sharma Acharya. He always used to say, Upasana you can do for 5 minutes, but sadhana, the only minimum time you can give is 24 hours. And he says it is a minimum time. And I don't know what is the maximum time. So the sadhana, this is the basis of sadhana. Sri Aurobindo gives it three words, three combinations. We speak of evolution of life in matter, the evolution of mind in matter. You try to understand what exactly is conveying. First is evolution of life in matter, evolution. Evolution, you understand, growing, a progressive growth. Then, when matter, in matter when life is evolved, what happened? The evolution of mind in matter. There are two different steps. Evolution of life in matter, evolution of mind in matter. Now, evolution of supra mind in matter. That is the third step. That is what the life divine, he says. It is basically inherent in you, all of us who are alive and having a human body, these two have been completed. Life is in this matter, it has evolved, and the mind is evolved. You have mind, you accept it, or are you going to fight with it? All of us accept that we have minds. So, these two evolutions are over, then naturally what is your goal? This is the only goal that is possible in nature. That is the supramental growth from mind. And that in matter should happen. That is the difference of Sri Aurobindo and the Rishis. Rishis did it, the supramental descent in mind, and it stopped there. And then they called it as liberation, moksha, and this and that, because at that time the human body was not fit to withstand the tremendous power of supramental descent. But Sri Aurobindo, foresight, and he knew that the time has come, and he has evolved it much faster, and had it not done it on 5th December 1950, he said it would have taken 3 lakh more years to complete. So the bonus, the boost, the gift Sri Aurobindo has given, how many years for us? Only 3 lakh years. Nirodh Baran, in his letters on yoga, Sri Aurobindo writes about it. And being with him and being a member of that society, don't we think probably we are missing our bus by not being physically immortal and supramental descent happening in few months? And I am not saying it. Sri Aurobindo says it, and I think when a man in truth conscious being, whatever he says is right. So what we are, where we are going wrong, we are not understanding how to go about it. Got this point? With the evolution of life in matter is over, the evolution of mind in matter is over. Now, the evolution of supramind or the supermind in matter. Then the matter also becomes immortal. But evolution is a word which merely states the phenomenon without explaining. It didn't explain, is the evolution of life in matter, what did it explain? It states, that's all, the phenomena that life is evolved in matter. But how? It doesn't say. And mind also evolved in matter. It is a simple statement, that is what Sri Aurobindo says. But evolution is a word which merely states the phenomenon without explaining it. For there seems to be no reason why life should evolve out of material elements or mind out of living form unless we accept the Vedantic solution that life is already involved in matter and mind. Vedantic solution that life is already involved in matter and mind is already involved in life. Two different things. Involved, you understand now? Why you are being immortal is guaranteed because it has involved. That power, the supramind, the soul, has involved into the subconscious and inconscient beings. Slowly the mineral consciousness evolved, even though we say the mineral is unconscious, but they have their own consciousness. Then the plant consciousness has evolved. Then the human consciousness has evolved. That the superhuman consciousness is going to evolve. So this is the guarantee by understanding the process. Because in essence matter is a form of veiled life, life a form of veiled consciousness, and then there seems to be little objection to a further step in the series and the admission that mental consciousness may itself be only a form and a veil of higher states. So your mind is veiling your higher states. You understood the, got the point? Just as matter is veiling life, mind is veiling your higher consciousness. So the entire aspect of the practice of supramental descent is not doing any sadhana but surrendering. Without surrendering you can't do it. Because whenever you want to do something, the mind comes. Even if you want to practice something, the highest grade of sadhana, it is still the mind which says, this is the highest grade. And that is why Sri Aurobindo always says, that surrender, 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 surrender is the basis. But it is not the mind which should surrender. The mind should go. It is you who should surrender, your consciousness which should surrender. That is where the confusion comes. I am surrendering and nothing is happening. Who is surrendering? I am surrendering. That is the problem. You don't surrender. You are there. The mind is there. Because of the mind you are there. Because of life, that is the ahankara. But when you go into the chitta concept, that is where I tell you this concept. But before that, whatever higher things we read, we need a break. Okay? Jai Guru Dev.